And I'm just going to share now a short 10-minute thought for the day to go into our week on this Epiphany Sunday. So, this morning I'm finishing this series that we've been doing called Love Came Down. And this idea that Jesus came into the stable and brought love into our lives. And today I want to look briefly at what it means to have a life that has been interrupted. Because that essentially is what we see in the Christmas story, that Jesus comes and interrupts things. And Tom shared a bit last week about kind of the history of the people, the Jewish people, and how it interrupted their history. And I want to kind of carry on with that and think about what does it mean for Jesus to interrupt our lives, and what does it mean when our lives get interrupted? How do we respond to that? And I wonder, my question for you, just to chat with the person next to you for literally just for 20 seconds now, is did 2017 go as you planned or expected? Did 2017 go as you planned? People are laughing already, so I'm guessing the answer is no. But if you just want to share that with the person next to you, how did it go? Did it go as you expected this last year? Great. Well, I think it sounds like you've got lots of things to talk about over dinner. Lots of places maybe where things didn't quite go as you planned. And maybe you had big things not quite go as planned. Maybe your plans got changed quite a lot. Maybe things went very smoothly, kind of as you expected. One of the little things that changed my plan slightly was that a few months ago, a very official-looking letter came through our letterbox. And usually that's either like really good news, isn't it? Like a tax return or particularly bad news. And mine was particularly bad news because I was being chased by the police because I'd been caught speeding. I know that is going to be shocking to you all. But I'd been caught speeding, and I'm sure I'm the only person in this room who's had that kind of communication from South Yorkshire Police. But I'd been caught speeding, and so I was invited to go on to a speed re-education course. And so I went to the New York Stadium in Rotherham, a very salubrious location, and I went up this lift and went into this foyer where there was just 20 people from every walk of life, like just a complete mix, like an amazing cross-section of society, all in absolute silence in this room, all like just looking at their feet. And then eventually they opened the door and we went in, and the two most bubbliest, amazing Yorkshire women welcomed us into this room like it was going to be some sort of party for the next 4 hours. And we all sat down at our tables, and they tried to do like ice-breaking things, which just, I just feel like that's just not the way to, anyway. It absolutely bombed because nobody wanted to talk. But the first thing she said as she kind of like began her spiel was, "So, I'm guessing that none of you planned to be here today." And we're like, "Yep, you're right on the money there." And like some people, I think by the end of it, I'm not sure I'd gained anything. And there was one man who I basically think spent the day working out how to get away with it the next time rather than any kind of like re-education. But she was right, actually, that was not on any of our plans. Like my plan that day was not to be sat being re-educated about speed limits or anything like that. And that's just kind of one example. And throughout the year, I've had loads of like much bigger personal stuff that I wouldn't share for laughs on the stage. And smaller things and moments of things that have been good changes, things that have been difficult changes. But I think for me, this picture that I saw somebody share over Christmas kind of sums it up about what life can sometimes feel like. There's kind of our plans are kind of just, we'll just go along. And then it says, the universe is plans for you. And there's quite a few obstacles and various different things. And that kind of can be, maybe that's what it feels like when you look back over the year, 2017. Maybe that's what it looked like. Like you thought at the beginning of the year, I've put my New Year's resolutions in. This is the way I'm going. And yet you look back to the year thinking, what happened? Like, where did things change? And actually that life gets interrupted, doesn't it? The best laid plans don't come to fruition, and sometimes those interruptions bring surprising joy and celebration and new experiences and exciting things, and we've had some of that in our family this year. But sometimes those interruptions are uncomfortable and unwelcome and painful. And I imagine that many of us, or all of us, have experienced a measure of both of those this year. And on Epiphany Sunday, we read a story about two different groups of people who are interrupted by the arrival of Jesus. And I'm going to read that now from the Storybook Bible, and I've got just a short couple of minute thought to finish our gathering with. So let's read the story of the kings, and there's going to be some pictures up on the screen. Far away in the east, three clever men saw the very same star, the star that God had put in the sky when Jesus was born. They knew it was a sign. A baby king had been born. "He's here," they shouted. "He's here." And I'm sure if you'd been there, you would have heard them laughing and dancing until the sun came up. The three wise men, actually, if you'd have met them, you'd have thought they were kings because they were so rich and clever and important looking. They set off. They rode their camels across endless deserts, up steep mountains, down into deep valleys, through raging rivers, over grassy plains, day and night, night and day, for hours that turned into days, that turned into weeks, that turned into months and months, until at last they reached Jerusalem. Jerusalem was by far the most important city for miles around. And as anyone can tell you, that's where a palace would be. And kings are born in palaces. So that's where they went. But they were in for a surprise. They went to see King Herod. Surely he knew where this baby was. But he didn't. In fact, he didn't like the sound of a new king. It made him cross. He didn't want anyone to be king except him. But Herod's advisors told the three wise men what was written in their books that God had said about the baby king. "Go to Jerusalem, that's where you'll find him." Suddenly, the star they had seen in the east started moving again, showing them the way. So the three wise men followed the star out of the big city, across the road, and into the little town of Bethlehem. They followed the star through the streets of Bethlehem, out of the nice part of the town, through the not-so-nice part of town, and into the really not-so-nice part of town, down a little dirt track until it stopped right over a little house. But wait, it wasn't a palace, and there weren't any guards or servants or flags or red carpets or trumpets or anything. Did they get it wrong, or was this what God meant? Sure enough, in this little house there, sitting on his mother's knee, they found him, the baby king. The three men knelt before the little king. They bowed their noble heads to the ground and gave him their sparkling treasures. The journey that had begun so many centuries before had led three wise men here, to a little town, to a little house, to a little child, to the king God had promised to David all those years before. And so the truth is that we don't really know much about the wise men, or the magi, as some translations call them. We don't know specifically where they came from, or apart from it being in the east somewhere. We don't know how many there even were, and we don't know how long they journeyed for, although it was likely to be months rather than days. But we do know their response to having their lives interrupted by Jesus' arrival. Their response when this strange star appears was to follow it. They put aside their plans. They chose to take a different course. They pressed into this interruption, hoping that it would be valuable. Michael Palin, the great, you know, theologian and travel writer, once said, if you never try anything new or take risks, then you miss the chance to be joyfully surprised. And I think that was the kind of magi's response, the wise men's response, to accept this change. And in doing so, they actually entered into this huge, much, much bigger story. And actually, when we read in other translations, we know that the plans change on them again later in the story, because Herod asks them to come back to report about the baby that they found. But God warns them in a dream not to do that. And once again, they let their plans be changed and shaped, and they embrace this new interruption and follow what God is saying. But things are slightly different, aren't they, for Herod and for his people. Herod has been going along really confident in his rule and his reign, confident that he will remain on the throne and that his ancestors will continue to rule this land long after him. But then he gets wind of this new baby king. Suddenly, his life is interrupted and a spanner is kind of thrown into the works. And this is not part of his plan. And scripture actually says that he was disturbed. That's the word they use. And his response to the plan being changed, to his life being interrupted, was to try and take control. And we know later in the story that he's going to decree that all babies under two are to be killed because he's trying to get rid of this inconvenient interruption. So two really different responses in this story on Epiphany Sunday. Herod's response ends in fear and a desperate bid to take back control. The wise men's response leads them to worship Jesus, to be part of a bigger story than they could ever imagine. And I wonder today who we identify more with at the beginning of this year. Are we like the wise men, ready to follow God's lead, holding our plans and our dreams really lightly? Or are we like Herod and his followers who wanted, when unwanted change comes, we dig our heels in and we try and resist it and we try and keep our plan as the plan? I would love to say that I'm always like the wise men and that I'm always ready to respond to God and I'm really happy to follow his lead. But to be honest, the truth is that I'm probably more like Herod more often than not, that I cling on to my plans of how things should go, that I'm frustrated when things look like they're going in a direction that I didn't plan. Well, I've got a bit of a spoiler for us today. 2018 is not going to go the way that we plan. It's the only thing that I'm certain. Well, there's two things, actually, that I'm certain of. That it's not going to go as we plan. That there are going to be moments when life looks way different from how we hoped or planned. And there's going to be the smallest moments of change to the biggest life-changing moments. And some of those interruptions this year will be really welcome and will be exciting and will bring really great stuff. Some of those interruptions will be challenging and difficult. But the question is, not will those things happen, but how will we respond? Will we try to take back control and do everything in our power to fix things, to kind of get the show back on the road? Or will we use those moments to practice putting our trust in God, to put him back at the center, to use those moments to be drawn, like the wise men, into worshiping him? Because the second thing that I know about 2018 is that it won't go to plan. And the second thing is that God is already there, that he is already there. We've sung about it a lot this morning, that he waits to walk with us through whatever this year holds. He will be there in the moments of celebration, and he'll also be there in the moments of sorrow. He will be there through every moment, through every change, and through every single interruption.